Hello, everybody. Good evening, and I pray that this first Monday of May has been a good one for you. It's a beautiful day out there. I've had to run some errands today, unknown errands, unforeseen errands, and then came up to the church and tried to stay inside and can only be inside for a few minutes. I had to get outside. I think I'm going stir crazy. If you don't believe me, ask my children. They told me this morning that I was not acting right, but they're on medications because they had teeth pulled and filled, so they might not be in clear mind right now. But I told you yesterday that I wouldn't tell you who was speaking today until today. So drum roll, please. You got him right here. It's me. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel tonight. No, I got my wires crossed up with someone else and kind of got behind, and then just figured everybody else has been faithful in their calling on these devotional days, and I figured that I'd do one. I'm going to kind of do it a little bit different tonight. We're not going to keep you long, but sometimes other people say the same things that we say, just in a better way, in a more beautiful way. And so after we go through our time of praise reports and prayer needs, before we do our announcements, I want to read you a devotion. It's from earlier of last week. It came from last week, but it's one of the devotions that I read, and I think it'll mean a lot to you. But praise reports, praise God. He's on the throne today. We give him all the honor, glory, and praise, and he's due it. We're one day closer to the end of this sickness. I took a little time today, as I told you yesterday, at the max when it comes to coronavirus. I only give myself about 45 minutes through the day. And so what I did was I went to the website that when you type in coronavirus, it brings it up and it's got that chart, you know, going up and down. Well, it looks like that April the 24th was our peak, that we had the most reported cases at that time. Since then, there's been some up and downs, but it's not got up to that high. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to go crazy and willy-nilly and everywhere, but it just means that God is faithful and he's working and that we are coming to an end. Praise report. Yesterday, what a wonderful day it was to be with y'all. Thankful that you come out. One side of my head was a little brighter than the other. My children and my wife, when I got home last night, thought I was sick or something, but I got too much sun on one side. But also, we met our goal on Facebook shares. As last time I looked, it was 41. Now that does not mean because we got to 41 that you need to stop. There's some of you that you figure, well, somebody else is going to share it. But you know what? You, Thomas Village member, or you other person that watches us, I know there's some of you in Georgia. I know there's some of you in Alabama. I know there's some of you in Michigan, Tennessee, on the east side of Virginia. I promise you, you ain't got near the same people that we have on our friends account. So if you would just share it, we would be amazed. Go look and see how many that basically 10 to 12 shares difference has made in, what, 24 hours? We had more in 24 hours than we had a whole week. Basically that way, because people were faithful. And I thank you for that. Also, May 17th, Lord willing, we'll be doing us another drive-in service. We're going to try to pick that up. We're seeing that we have the liberty to meet, and we understand if you don't feel free to come, but praise God, we're going to use our liberty and begin to practice the rights that we have as not only Christians, but as Americans. So, tonight, as we go into our prayer needs, we do want to remember the lost. Always want to remember the lost. Want to lift them up and pray for their salvation. We want to pray for the backslidden. We want to pray for the marriages. I've had the depressed on my mind today. You'll understand it when I read the, devotion for today. Also, we want to remember the McMillan family. Brother Eddie went home to be with the Lord. We want to pray for him. For Nathaniel Wells, Faye Hill, Jimmy Lane, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Rhonda Smith, Sister Patricia, Sister Peggy DeBoard, Sister Moselle, Sister Ruth Bowen, Sister Patty, Sister Helen Bowen, Sister Ruth Bowen, Sister Ruth Osborne, Sister Hazel, Sister Jeanette, Sister Peggy Stanley, Sister Alma Bowen, Sister Lottie Johnson, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby, Sister Phyllis and Brother Hoyt, Brother Kent, Eliza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and Jean Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Johnson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, Danny Smith, and there's many, many others, specifically our frontline workers also. As far as we know, Tennessee kicked back in yesterday. And we're thankful for that. Did I forget anything?
Happy birthday to Rowena Black today.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday. Also, happy birthday, Sister Rowena. And Sister Alma and Sister Carol, their mother celebrates birthday today, 97 years old. So to God be the glory on that. We want to remember our healthcare workers, those on the front lines and all that's different stipulations is coming, and I want to pray for that. As of about, what was it, about 5:15, well, that's, yeah, you weren't here. As about 5:15, I guess, I checked the numbers. Nationally, we're at 1,200,000 that have been with the virus. I need to start looking at how many recovered, too. I think that'd be a good number to throw in there. Death, there's been 69,128 in Virginia. 19,492 with 684 deaths. And so we want to continue to pray for that. But let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer now. I know you have needs. We're praying for you. We love you. I've been on the phone today, been texting with some of our church members, been talking on the phone with some of our church members. Call my cell phone, call here at the church. If you don't get me at the church, try both numbers. Usually I'll answer the secondary number. Give me a call on that. But as we go to the Lord right now, you have your needs. We'll have a few moments silence and then we'll lift these up. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we come to you today thanking you and praising you for the privilege of being called a Christian. God, that we've not earned it. We don't deserve it. And Lord, we didn't choose it in and of ourselves, but you've called us to it. And I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke our flesh. I rebuke our mind. I rebuke anything. The Bible says that we're to take every thought into captivity. And Lord, that we're to either throw it out or either hold on to it because it glorifies you. Lord, I pray today you teach me how to do that. And pray you teach me, Heavenly Father, Lord, how to glorify you not only in outward action, but in my inward life as well. God, I pray today, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those that are in need. We do lift up the lost, those that don't know you. We pray for our country as we know you're trying to speak to us. You're trying to call us back to you. And if it's not too late, Lord, and I pray for our leaders, and I pray for those that are around us, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray for marriages and those that are backslidden, the press, those that are the McMillan family today, and Nathaniel, we lift him up to you. Miss Hill, God, and all these others that we've lifted up. God, we're thankful that you've brought some back that's had to travel, Heavenly Father, Lord. We're thankful that the numbers seem to be kindly going down or at least leveling off, God, and we lift you, give you the glory for that. But Lord, we invite your spirit to be in our midst today, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory as we lay these prayers before you, and we do give thanks for the things that we've mentioned today, but also, Heavenly Father, Lord, the things that we've forgotten, things that we take for granted that you give us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I know my family don't think I read very much because around the house, you very rarely see me with a book in my hand. Usually I read off my phone at the house, but now here around the church, it's a lot different. I do a lot of reading. If you go into my office many times, you'll see four or five books laid out on my desk at the same time with books being pulled up on the computer. And I've got, and the deacons will tell you this, that anyone that's been in my office, I've got probably three or four devotionals that lay on my desk. Some days I read all three of them. Some days I read one of them. I have a Logos program. If you want to invest in any type of Christian programming, study guides or anything like that, look at Logos. It is expensive. I'm not gonna fool you about that, but it will blow your mind. I mean, it is so awesome. It's so great. I've showed people, I've brought them into office and set them down and showed them how to use it. And then you have the app also on your phone and it links up with everything. But One of the ones that's really probably come my go-to for any day, there's two of them. One of those Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest. I can't find it right now. I got one hard copy at the house, and there's another one when we were packing that I had in my office, and I can't find it. I don't know if I've left it at Mama and Papa's house or what. But then God kindly replaced it, and he gave me one that's called Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. It every day it provides you a morning devotion and an afternoon devotion. And it was written in 1890. That's how far back it goes. And so basically for over a century, if you don't know who Charles Haddon Spurgeon is, I mean, he's an awesome preacher. He's called the People's Preacher. I've got a video on him over in England. He preached and led revivals and did great things. One time he led a revival. He was preaching in he suffered with depression. One time he was preaching in a building and a fire cut loose and a lot of people died and that sent him into depression. But he never let his depression stop him. There were times that his wife would have to sit by his bed and pray and read over him so he could be prepared to preach that night or somewhere else. But some of his readings are awesome, and I don't know if this is copyrighted or not. I could not find a copyright date, so Lord forgive me, and whoever printed this book as well, forgive me. If we need to take it down after today, we can take it down. But I don't think we would, because like I said, it's from 1890. But his verse, this is what he says. This is from maybe even last month. But it's John chapter 17, verse 15, and it's one verse. Really, it's just part of one verse that he focuses on. This is when Jesus is in the garden. And you remember he's praying. And in chapter 17, he prays for the apostles. And because he knows he's going away and they're going to have to function on their own. But then he says this in his prayers. It's after verse 15 of chapter 17. But he says this, not for these only, but for those also that will come. Meaning us. He prays this for us, for all believers. But it says, I pray, John 17, 15. It says, I pray not that thou should take them out of this world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. I pray that you don't take them out of this world. Now, this is our Savior praying for us. He says, I pray that you don't take them out of this world, but while they're in this world, please keep them from evil. I want you to listen to what Pastor Spurgeon has to say. It is a sweet and blessed event which will occur to all believers in God, in God's own time, the going home to be with Jesus. In a few more years, the Lord's soldiers who are now fighting the good fight of faith will have done with the conflict and have entered into the joy of the Lord. But although Christ prays that his people may eventually be where he is, he does not ask that they may be taken away at once from this world to heaven. He wishes them to stay here. He wishes us to stay here. Yet how frequently do we, the wearied pilgrim, put up a prayer, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. But Christ does not pray like that. He leaves us in his Father's hands until, like shocks of corn fully ripe, we shall each be gathered into our Master's hands. Jesus does not plead for our instant removal by death, but for to abide in the flesh is needful for others, if not profitable for ourselves. Listen to that. He says, for us to abide here is needful for others, if not profitable for ourselves. He asks that we may be kept from evil, but he never asks for us to be admitted into the inheritance in glory till we come of full age. Christians often want to die when they have much trouble. Ask them why, and they'll tell you, because we would be with the Lord. We fear it is not so much because they are longing to be with the Lord as because they desire to get rid of their troubles. That's true, ain't it? Lots of times, as we talked yesterday about the giants, it'd be a whole lot easier just to give up and go on than to face the giants. But remember, Jesus said that we're giant slayers and he wants us to be kept from evil. But they want to get rid of their troubles, else they would feel the same wish to die at other times when not under the same pressure. They want to go home, not so much for the Savior's company, but to be at rest. Now it is quite right to desire to depart, if we can do it in the same spirit that Paul did, because we know that to be with Christ is far better. But the wish to escape from trouble is a selfish one. Rather let your care and wish be to glorify God by your life here as long as He pleases, even though it be in the midst of toil and conflict and suffering, and leave Him to say when it is enough. The thing stretches out and gets a little burdensome and some cumbersome. Sometimes we just say, take me on, Lord. But praise God, it works in His right timing. And if you're depressed today, again, I just pray that the Holy Ghost rise up within you and rest upon you and lift you up. Maybe you're not depressed, but man, this thing's stretching out long. Know this. If you go to Romans chapter 8, you'll see this. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. Jesus is praying for us and interceding on the throne for us today. What greater can we have? And we have the victor living inside of us. So again, God bless you. I ain't going to go through announcements today. I think the Lord's spoken to you. Remember, though, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things. And whatever you're going through right now, if you need anything, spiritually, financially, food, whatever, you give me or one of the deacons a call. Don't let pride stand in your way. Again, nobody loves you like Jesus. We'll see you Wednesday.